Our scripture reading today is taken from the Old Testament. It's taken from the book of Psalms, Psalm 103, and Robert McLean, one of our elders, is going to come forward and read these words for us.
Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remembers to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to be with you all here this Sunday. Thank you for the warm welcome. And do please open your Bibles to that passage we've read in Psalm 103. If you can, we're going to go through this really wonderful psalm together. So do have it open in front of you. I wonder if you've ever found yourself walking into a room and then completely forgetting why you're there. Right, you walk in and your mind just goes completely blank and you start looking around like some amateur detective trying to find out your own motive for going in. Happens to all of us, doesn't it? And that's because we are all forgetful people, aren't we? Some of us maybe more than others, but we are all forgetful people. And because of that, we all need reminders, don't we? So some of us might live without them, and so you invariably forget a long list of things. You know who you are. Maybe I should say we know who we are. Some of you might use a diary or a phone that's relentlessly beeping at you through the day. But the reason we have diaries and reminders on our phones is because without them, we'd forget, wouldn't we? We have places we need to remember to be, people we need to remember to see, things we need to remember to do. And so because of that, we all need reminders. Psalm 103 that Robert's just read for us is one big reminder. It is a reminder from David to himself. There's something he needs to do, and so he reminds himself to do it. Right, that's the psalm in a nutshell. David is reminding himself what he needs to do and why he needs to do it. Just look there at the first line of that psalm with me. Praise the Lord, my soul. Right at the end of the psalm, end of verse 22. Praise the Lord, my soul. David is speaking here to his own soul. There is something he needs to do, and he's telling himself to do it. This is when something starts and ends with the exact same phrase. It's what's called an inclusio. If you ever want to dampen a party, there's a fun fact for you. But it's where a psalm or anything really starts and ends with exactly the same phrase. And it's very helpful because it tells us loud and clear, doesn't it? Exactly what this psalm is all about. You can't miss it. Provides the framework, the walls within which everything in between is filling out. So what is Psalm 103 all about? It is about David reminding himself, commanding himself, to praise the Lord. To praise God simply means to adore him for who he is, to worship him as we've been doing in song and prayer, to give thanks to him in all things. And everything we find in between verse 1 and 22 is telling us why the Lord is worthy of our praise. Psalm 103 is a command to your own soul to praise the Lord. And before we dive into some of the sort of the filling in the sandwich here, I think it's worth spending a little bit of time thinking about what is going on just in this opening and closing line, isn't it? Because it's important that we nail this down, because this is the very heart of all that this psalm teaches us. We all talk to ourselves all the time, don't we? Some of us have the sense to keep that conversation internal. But we all are constantly talking to ourselves. You'll be doing it right now. In all the internal monologues that have gone on in your head this week, how often, I wonder, how often have you told yourself to praise God? Maybe that's because you don't feel like it's proper to command yourself to praise God. Then it somehow feels forced. I think for some reason we believe that, don't we? That in order for praise to be genuine, it must be spontaneous. It's got to just happen. In order to be true, to be real, it's just got to flow out of us naturally. As if praise is only proper when we cannot help but do anything else. But David, right? The great King David, a man after God's own heart, he had to tell himself, remind himself, command himself to praise God. There might be times when you do burst forth in praise, whether on a Sunday when you're reminded of God's goodness once more, maybe out in his creation, atop a mountain on the shores of a beautiful lake, on the beach. There are times when we will spontaneously burst forth in praise, and that is good, that is great. But that is not the only way we can truly and properly worship God, because telling yourself to do something doesn't take anything away from the substance of it. In fact, I think quite the opposite. Because praising God is a great exercise for both your body and soul. And if you know it's a good exercise, you'll know it's good to make yourself do it even when you don't necessarily feel like it. On the odd occasion that I go for a run, it's odder than I'd like it to be, I often have to force myself to do it, right? Because really, you just can't be bothered. But just because I have to tell myself to get out the door doesn't make the running any less of an exercise, does it? It doesn't take away from it at all. But the fact that I know I need to force myself out the door, it shows what I actually value. It shows what I value doing, what I know is worth pushing myself to do. That even though the body can't be bothered, my mind knows what's more important. And so it says, get off the sofa. Telling yourself to do something you don't spontaneously feel like doing doesn't take away from the action at all. It actually shows what your heart and mind really value and treasure. Do we value praising God? Do you know that it is a good thing for your soul to do? If you do, then don't be afraid to tell yourself to do it. Like David, call out to your own soul. Praise the Lord. Do it not just because you've got a notion for it in a particular moment, but because you know it is the best thing for you to do. And if you don't think it's a thing worth doing, just wait and see what else David reminds us of in this psalm, and hopefully, I pray that your mind will be changed. But just before we dive into the rest of this psalm, there's something else I think worth noting in these opening lines. Just to verse 1 there, look at the second part. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. All my inmost being. David wants everything that is in his being to be praising God. He is addressing his inner soul to bless his holy name. To put it another way, here is a man with no time for paying lip service. It's very easy, isn't it, to come in on Sunday, sort of sing along with the songs, drift off for the prayers, pay a little bit of attention during the sermon, and on the outside, it looks great. You've ticked all the right boxes. But your heart isn't really engaged at all. Your mouth looks like it's engaged in worship, but the rest of you is thinking about the 12 o'clock kickoff. I've been there. But to worship God, to praise God truly, doesn't mean paying lip service. It's not about looking like you're worshiping God. It's about truly praising him with all of your heart, mind, and soul. As the Pharisees that were around in Jesus' time, they were excellent, weren't they, at looking really religious. They looked like they would have ticked all the right boxes. They followed all their own rules. They stood on the corners to pray so everyone could see how holy they were. They were the kind of people who would have been in here every Sunday, morning and evening, singing and praying, looking to all the world like they were good people who worshipped God. But what does Jesus say to them? You hypocrites. You honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. He says they worship me in vain. It's pointless, doesn't achieve anything. Their teachings are merely human rules. And so it is all of us worth asking ourselves, do we really mean the words when we sing them off the screen, or are we just joining in a nice tune? When we hear God's word read out, are we listening to hear the goodness, the beauty, the holiness of God Most High? Or are we just looking for a nice thought for the week? David knew the danger. It's a danger all of us can fall into. So not only does he remind himself to praise the Lord, he addresses his innermost being. He commands everything that is in him to join in the praise. But why? Right, it's a good question to ask. Why should I remind myself to praise the Lord? Why is he worthy of our praise? It's a good question, but it's also one that this psalm gives a very good answer to. If we want to praise the Lord, or if we want to know why we should praise the Lord, there are two things this psalm calls us to remember. Number one, remember his blessings. And number two, remember his love. Remember his blessings and remember his love. We're just going to take those two things in turn. First of all, remember his blessings. Look at the end of verse 2 with me. It's exactly what David, again, commands himself to do. Forget not all his benefits. What are these benefits, these blessings that we have in God? Just read on. Who forgives all your sin and heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Remember all that God has done for you. It's a very simple command, isn't it? And there is far more in here than we have time to properly unpack. But let me just give you a flavor, a reminder of the blessings that you have in Christ. They are yours. Look at the benefits that God has blessed us with. First of all, our iniquities, our sins have been forgiven. That means in Christ there is no more shame or guilt. The crippling anxiety that we once felt for sins of our past. You'll have done many things in your life that you regret. There have been times when your conscience has pricked you. You know you've crossed a line, even if you're not entirely sure what that line is. You've done things that you fear the consequences of. You've done things you hope no one ever finds out. In Christ, every single one of them is gone. And they are gone forever, forgiven. There is no more guilt. There is no more shame. There is no more condemnation. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord because he has forgiven all your sins. They are gone as far as the east is from the west. They are no more. Praise the Lord, second line of verse 3, because he heals your diseases. You might be sitting here this morning suffering from some terrible illness. Maybe you live a life of pain, crippled by anxiety or depression overshadows every moment of your day. Should you praise the Lord because he heals your diseases? It would be foolish, wouldn't we, to say that every disease under the sun has been healed. But the life and ministry of Jesus was full of healing, wasn't it? He made the lame walk. He healed the ill. He cleansed the lepers. He gave sight to the blind. He caused the mute to speak and the deaf to hear. And that is all a picture of what he promises is to come. He has come once to heal us from the greatest disease of all. But he will come again. And he has promised a day. Guaranteed it. A day when every illness will be wiped out. A day when bones will ache no more. A day when pain and suffering will be gone forever and ever. because he is the Lord who heals diseases. Jesus showed us a glimpse of what was to come during his life, a glimpse of a future where every disease will be healed. So praise the Lord, because in Christ a day is coming. I can guarantee you, a day is coming when disease and death, pain and suffering, both physical and mental, will be no more. Praise the Lord because he has redeemed your life from the pit. Praise the Lord because he crowns you with steadfast love and compassion. Praise the Lord because he satisfies you with good. How quickly we forget about the emptiness of life before coming to Christ. The world is searching desperately for fullness. Maybe you are searching desperately for fullness this morning. You can have it in Jesus. Every single blessing is already yours in Christ. Not because of anything you've done, but because of what he has done for you. Just listen. Right? Listen to what you have in Christ. If you are a Christian here today, I want you to listen and know and believe and rest in this, that you were chosen before the foundation of the world. That out of God's love for you, he has adopted you as sons and daughters of the living God. You have been redeemed. Your sins have been atoned for. You have been sealed by the Spirit of God. There is no scheme of man, no power of hell that can ever pluck you from his hand. You have an inheritance waiting for you that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading. You have a new resurrection body to look forward to. You will have a whole new creation to enjoy forever. You are going to spend eternity in a place where there is no more weeping. There is no more tears. There is no more sickness or death. None of it. Forevermore. That is the blessing you have now in Christ. It is yours. So praise the Lord because of it. Remember the blessings you have in Christ. Dwell on it. Know it. Believe it. And so praise the Lord because of it. Remember the blessings you have in Christ, but remember also his love. It's not just about the blessings we have. It is also about the one who has blessed us. Just cast your minds back maybe a few months ago to Christmas morning. Maybe you've had a birthday since then. Just at any time when you got a present you were pretty excited about. Maybe you have to cast your mind back a few years. I don't know. As you unwrapped it and felt that joy, a really great gift. Are you excited about the gift, or are you thankful to the gift giver? Hopefully both. Didn't mean to be a trick question. You should be thankful for the gifts you receive. Right? Good gifts are there to be enjoyed, and that's what we should do with God's good gifts to us. But we should not and must not forget about the God who has given them. We give thanks for the gift, and we give thanks to the gift giver. That is what David does in this psalm. He first remembers the blessings he has been given. And then he turns his focus, doesn't he, onto the one who has given the gifts. And what do we learn? What do we learn about the one who has blessed us with every spiritual in Christ? Just glance down through the rest of the psalm with me and see what we learn about the gift giver. Verse 8, the Lord is merciful, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Verse 11, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love towards those who fear him. As far as east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Verse 17, but from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children. Do you get the picture? Remember God's gifts and remember his love, because here is love like no other. Here is a love that cannot be measured. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for you. He is abounding in love, and it lasts forever. From everlasting to everlasting, from before the beginning of time and beyond eternity. God's benefits are good, that they are great, but his love is greater still. All the blessings that we just considered, they are only ours because of his love for us. Praise the Lord because he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Praise the Lord because he has loved us with a love that is infinite and everlasting. He has loved us with a love so great that he gave up his own son for us. That is, as we read in the New Testament, isn't it? The greatest display of love there has ever been and ever will be. John 15, 13, greater love, Jesus says, has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. This is love, 1 John 4:10. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. That is what Christ has done for you. Praise God because he has for us and has displayed to us a love like no other. But there is a condition here that we would be remiss to ignore. God's love is great, it is infinite, it is eternal, and it is offered to everyone, but not everyone accepts it. Look at verse 11 again. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. Again, down to verse 17. From everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The great, infinite, eternal love of God and all the blessings which flow from it are for those who fear him. who keep his covenant, those who obey his commands, those who hear his voice and do it. The invitation is open. But many reject it, don't they? They would rather live according to their own law. Maybe this is you here this morning. They would rather decide for themselves what is right and wrong. And so they reject God's love. They reject his blessings just so that they can reject his law. God does demand obedience from his people. But it is the same obedience that a parent rightly demands from their children. Because they know what is best for them. And it is only after he has showered upon us all the blessings that we have already seen, only then does he expect us to hear and obey his word. The great, infinite, eternal love of God is for all those who accept his gifts and to accept the greatest gift of all. Let me be clear. If you have repented of your sins and believe in Christ, and you want to live for him even though you fail time and time and time again, then know that God's great love is for you. It is for you. He has forgiven your sins. He will heal your iniquities. He has satisfied you with good, and you can rejoice in his great love. But if that is not you, if you have rejected and are continuing to reject the good gifts of God, if you don't believe in a son, then take a moment, I beg you. Take a moment to stop and think about where you are going in this fleeting life. Just look down there at verse 15 to 17 with me. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower in the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone. Its place remembers it no more. Life is very, very short. But God's love is eternal. If you are not in Christ, I know you are not satisfied. I know that you feel guilt and shame. I know that you worry about the future. I know that you do not know and feel the love of God. But I also know you can have your guilt taken away. You can be filled with all the fullness of God. You can have a sure and certain hope beyond the short years of this life. You can know the love of God by rooting and grounding yourself in the love of his Son. And the most gracious, loving God will embrace you with open arms. And so will all his people. But to those of us who have already put our hope in Christ, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, because the blessings are great and his love is greater still. What does it look like to praise the Lord? It means being here, but hearing his word not just with our ears, but with our hearts. It means singing his praise, but not just with our lips, but our souls. But it also means going out from here and doing all that he has given us to do. Praising the Lord in all of life doesn't mean attending a never-ending Sunday service. It means worshiping here and then going about and doing everything he has given you to do to the best of your ability. Giving thanks to him in everything for every good gift you have. Give thanks for the food on your table. Give thanks for the air you breathe. Give thanks for the roof over your head. Give thanks for the clothes you wear. Give thanks for the work you have. Remember, brothers and sisters, to praise the Lord. Set a reminder on your phone if you need to. Write it in your diary. But remember to praise the Lord. Command your own soul to do it. Remind yourself every day of all the amazing blessings you have in Christ. And remind yourself of the infinite, eternal love of God with which he loves you, and praise his holy name. Let me just pray before we sing our final song together. Father, we praise you. And we love to praise you. For you are the most loving God, compassionate and gracious, abounding in steadfast love. We thank you and praise you for Jesus, in whom we can know all these wonderful blessings. But we praise you, Father, Son, and Spirit, most of all, for your great love that is eternal and infinite. Help us, Lord, to remember it and to praise you because of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.